Every fund drive at KPFA is like walking a tightrope without a net. If we don't succeed at reaching our goal, we have to come right back at you with another fund drive. That's a vicious cycle that we're trying to stop. We're committed to shorter fund drives and ending this drive on time. Please give now rather than later. 1-800-439-5732 or go to kpfa.org. Remember, we're funded by people like you. We're community powered. Thank you for your generous support.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, coming to you from the bitter cold of Washington, D.C., on so many levels. But we are getting ready, of course, to toss the ring of power into the crack of doom. I think it's actually right under Trump's hotel. So we'll be doing that, diving into the dark winter solstice. And, you know, for those of you in D.C., or traipsing through December 20th, 8 p.m. at 5th and K Streets Northwest, Activist Hub, Busboys and Poets, I'll be giving, with wonderful drummer Jackie McMillan, my solstice address. And the longest night, the wheel is turning. What do we give to the night? Well, there's so much. Wherever you be, start making your list of what you want to toss into the solstice cauldron. So more than perfectly at this time, I want to weave to and fro with our guests some of the spectacular guiding and heartening astro-mytho guiding themes. But we are diving into the dark mythic mystery realms of reverent intimate cahooting with nature. Our nearest exit may be behind us. Let's go backwards to go forward. So we welcome again part two, the return of Max Dashew, author of Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion. It is such a great book. I am reading a page an hour just on purpose because it's so resonantly rich, and we are offering that as a thank you gift for pledging to our beloved station and the Visionary Activist Show. You can have this wonderful book by calling 1-800-439-5732 or 1-800-HEY-KPFA or pledging online kpfa.org, and the book is a thank you gift for pledging $150, although all forms of pledging are welcome. So I'm so impressed with our guest, who founded the Suppressed History Archives in 1970 to document global women's history. She is known internationally, truly, for her visual presentations, DVDs, and webcasts. SuppressedHistories.net is an excellent resource. And so welcome back, Max.
Thank you, Caroline.
So it is a wild story storm maelstrom. Let me just weave a little bit about here we all are. And as we know, Mercury's straight up overhead, about to dance with Pluto, large by energetic symbolism, even if not by mass, oh humans. And station appear to stand still, really wants our attention from the Earth's perspective. And it stations exactly at 5:55 a.m. on Monday, December 19th, East Coast time, just as the Electoral College is convening. So traditionally we'd go reverse, redeem, rethink, reveal. Any RE words that come to mind, Max, that you would like to encourage Mercury to re?
Oh, Mercury to redeem us out of this.
Redeem us out of this
angle that we find ourselves in. It's really quite interesting because, you know, to have it on the elector's date, I had read something earlier that gave me the impression it was going retrograde on the election, but of course this is something even almost more crucial in a way, you know, because this is such a tipping point. And in Capricorn, sign of government.
Yes, and you'll like this. I like Daniel Gemario, kind of astro-mytho-archaeologist. But he found, and I don't know if it's true, but let's make it true, that the original symbolism for Capricorn was the Council of Wise Women, dedicated to the next seven generations.
So it's like the elder. It's ultimately the elders.
Yeah, so it is the elders convening, regardless, oh, dedicated listeners of age, temporary age, race, and gender assignment, we are all elders now, or mavens.
Council is necessary.
Council is necessary, and winter solstice. And so, you know, in reading, you know, just... as I said, just even just the deft storytelling of your opening line in this fabulous book, which is in Pagan's. Should I read it, or do you have it?
Well, I have it if you want me to read it.
Yes, read it. Yeah, I love it so.
The sacred well of life flows out of the earth beneath a mystery tree, whose roots reach into the underworld, its branches into the heavens. From this great ash tree fall vitalizing dews that moisten the soil underneath and nurture swarms of bees. And then it goes on, three primeval maidens live under this holy tree, according to the Völuspá, the oldest poem in the Icelandic Edda. They lay down the laws of nature and shape the destiny of all beings, carving runes into the tree. These are the deepest mysteries.
And I just want to keep going. A smidge. The maidens are named for the Norse verb Averda, to turn, to become. They are Urd, which means became. Oh, you'll have to say it.
Turvandi,
yes.
Becoming, and Skuld, shall be, must be, or will happen.
Yes.
And that word is related to our word shall in English.
And then just one other little thing from the Norns, I'll come back to you with the Norns pre-existing. The Norns spiral, crazy about spiral. The Norns spiral through revolutions of time. What was must lead to what shall be, which inexorably turns into what was. In this philosophy, time as well as space curves, turns, spirals. I love that.
Yeah.
It's not
a linear cosmology.
No.
And here we have these female elders at the base of all being, you know, and it's this whole process of becoming that they are shaping.
Right.
You know, we're co-creating that with them, because this is not a predestination sense of, oh, it's all laid down, you know, nothing you can do about it. You know, because in various ways these philosophies talk about working these energies.
Right, and I think that's what's so crucial for us now. I love there's an Arabic fairy tale opening that begins by saying it was and it was not.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, again, these are all excellent frames, O team, O dedicated audience of the age, as Scheherazade would address her listeners, and we do to KPFA listeners, going, whoa, it was and it was not. You know, and then something I heard long ago, I think I read it in an airplane magazine, but I wanted to run it by you because I like it so much, and I hope it's true, that the word stamina comes from stamen, not the plant stamen, but the thread that the fates weave, the length of our life. And the word stamina implies that we don't have to accept what's given to us. We can lengthen it and thicken it. Is that?
I don't know about that. That's something interesting to investigate.
I'm going to keep it. I mean, I want it to be true. It's quite lovely going away. But because so it's not predestined. It is spirally. It is multiple worlds and multiverses, yeah?
Yeah, because, you know, this is the whole purpose of having the Völur, the seeresses of old Norse culture, are not just prophesying that this is it, end of story, but there's this idea, you know, that you can work with this. And so, you know, sometimes it does. You know, sometimes it cannot be turned, like the name for the eldest of the fates, Atropos, in the Moiré of Greece, means that which cannot be turned. You know, unturnable. And so she's also associated with death. And so in a way, this is the inevitability of death. But the signal that this gives for all of us now, I mean, I think that ultimate grounding in nature is really something very much of the moment for us, because we've seen how the whole thing around the sacred stone camp and Standing Rock and, you know, the fight to stop that pipeline, you know, was all very much governed by the impulse led by Native women to defend the waters. You know, and so these are imperatives that we must be grounded in.
Yes, and I love Faith, Spotted Eagle, wonderful leader out there and everywhere, and did beautiful leading of the ceremony where the cavalry, the veterans, apologized for the past. And unbeknownst, it was on Custer's birthday that they did that ritual.
Yeah.
December 5th.
So what happened?
So there's one less angry ghost, in a sense, who's been released. I love talking about, you know, Stephen Karcher's I Ching talks about the underworld ghost river and, you know, the intervening of the angry ghosts, you know, and in my auguries with Total I Ching, my favorite current I Ching by Stephen Karcher, it keeps repeating, you know, you are all in the underworld ghost river and surrounded by angry ghosts that must be appeased, and we go, oh, yeah, well, that feels like it. But so Custer is one last. But yeah, so, but I love also when I hosted Faith some ways back about the XL pipeline, she said, careful with language, you know, she said, I always call it the proposed pipeline because in my mind it's not happening, right?
Mm-hmm. So I envision another outcome.
Yeah, and I go, but the proposed president-elect, the proposed, because I just want to toss to the wild story storm, and who better than yourself to help stir the cauldron, because it's, you know, one of the frames of the solstice that I've been so taken by, because all of these myths and all that you write about, they do run in our mythological blood and bones, right? They are in our DNA, awakening the quickening by hearing the likes of yourself, and something in us responds, right?
We have to wake up to the deep past.
Yes.
You know, to the deep time. And there's all these ways that, like, for example, with the names of the Norns in the last is Skuld, they're translating it as shall be or must be, what that is really saying to us. In some ways, it's similar to a really deep understanding of a word like karma, which is not this has to happen to you, but this is the sum of all these fates, of all that went before in time, propels us in a certain direction. You know, and like Amachi says, a ball that is thrown up can be caught. You know, but there's a very strong magnetism based on what has gone before, which is this whole history of colonialism, of patriarchy, of all these things that have led us to this moment of crisis. You know, that Chinese character of opportunity, danger, right? That we're at a turning point. And so, you know, how are we going to work with that? But to know that we're working with the deep, and not only, there's this whole magical game of media memes going on right now and fake news stories.
Yes,
surface
yes.
Surface narratives.
Yes.
And we have to find ways to stay grounded in depth, you know, because they're pushing people in those ways and manipulating them. In those ways.
Yeah, you said yourself, you know, that you're working on a new visual talk on persecutory culture that ties together witch hunting and pogroms and repression of indigenous spiritual traditions, and that you've been tracking this for a very long time, and as you say, but the urgency is greater now than ever before. Mm-hmm. Yes, the crushing horror and fear from the election impelled me, you say, to get this going. Could not sleep last night. A lot of people aren't sleeping, and pounded together an outline. Oh, you're so good at outlines. I'm going to start doing what, you know, and you said Pizzagate. Oh my goddess, I even found someone on my Facebook wall who buys it. I had two people who, you know, were otherwise kind of sensible, who were, you know, I am quite smitten by the TV series Brain Dead, because it really does explain it, going, taken over. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, going, right, but it is to know, everyone wants to know how they've been snookered or bamboozled, and I go, you know, partly now people are bamboozled by their desire to not be bamboozled, going, oh, you know. Anyway, so, yes, if we touch on this, you know, persecutory culture, how crucial a knowledge of history is, you know, and so these little stories, because the Pizzagate cuckoo thing, not that there isn't terrible child pedophilia in the world. I mean, that's the sneaky thing.
And that's why people are vulnerable to that lie,
right. Yeah.
Is because they want to change that. These are the people who I was referring to who believed it, because they have like this deep suspicion based on the knowledge that this stuff goes on.
Right.
You know, but as I was saying to them, you know, the source is Breitbart. which hates women.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So don't believe them. Don't be manipulated. See, this is, you know, what we're really dealing with is cultural spells.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and this persecutory culture that I was talking about is really in the interest of domination. And how can domination be snookered across, right? How do you contage people with these themes that they become caught up with? In the case of the United States election, it was people's rage, you know, at all that was wrong, you know, that the loss of the economy, all these things. But they were fooled, and they bought into it, to go with the scripts of hate and persecution. It's them. It's the others.
Right.
It's they who are to blame, and not the ones who are much more dangerous to go after, you know, and to name, you know, and that would be too simple. You know, it has to be deflected onto a scapegoat group, whether that's the Jews in medieval Europe and later. I mean, see, that's the thing about these cultural spells. They, especially if they have scriptural authorization, like, you know, the passages in the Christian Bible attacking the Jews as the children of the devil, these things can be resurrected centuries after we thought that was all dealt with, you know, in the case of the Jews, in, you know, the Enlightenment. It's like all of a sudden they could kind of come out into the wider society, out of the ghetto, and Mendelssohn could be a success as a composer, and all these things were beginning to happen. But it was resurrected. And the anti-Semites before Hitler was already being resurrected, but Hitler was able to deploy that in a really effective way to unify a populace under a toxic script that deflected them from the real needs and instead said, get this enemy. You know, and I see this now happening in the way that Trump is also turning all of these anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim, certainly anti-black and anti-women narratives into a means of control, of getting people who are angry to lash out in anger and not look at the larger picture.
And also people who would want to protect children being snookered. I mean, it is good to be suspicious, and it does require what you bring to our medicine council, which is deep, deep crafted learning and knowledge, you know, not New Age ding battery imposed on top of the thing, which is another form of sneaky colonialism, but deep knowledge, which is so powerful, you know, and lest we not be snookered our good-heartedness. Because so much also of Pizzagate got into, you know, baby sacrifice and blood thing and the terrible, you know, and that's the
blood libel.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was reaching for. That's the blood libel thing. Yeah, exactly.
Against Jews and also against the witches.
Right, of course.
You know, because the witches were also accused of sacrificing babies to the devil.
Right. Right, exactly. So again, you know, these are floating around that we know, you know, to be. I actually stood 10 inches from Andrew Breitbart. I didn't know who he was, but I saw this person who was clearly having a psychotic breakdown. I was at CPAC because I do that on behalf of our team, go to crazy underworld places. And this person was just, you know, yelling and shouting. Oh, well, actually, interesting. He was yelling at our team, you know, the protectors in the street, and saying, you're all rapists and pedophiles, right? He was doing that then, you know, at these good-hearted Greenpeace people, you know, and it looked like liquor and amphetamines and a kind of psychosis. So even his conservative friends came and was like, Andrew, let's go. And then
projection as well.
And what? Projection.
Projection.
Yes. And then he died 2 weeks later of poison, really, in a way. I mean, but yes, yeah, so it's like, ooh, these things, you know. I just want to, you know, from our ally, David Grimes, who has spent so much work in Alaska that begins with the Exxon Valdez horror, you know, and he just texted, our old friend Exxon is Secretary of State. The obscene is now fully on stage. Let's remember that obscene means off stage. It's a Greek stage direction, right? So when Medea murders her children, it is obscene, not shown. So now the obscene is on stage. And David says, this campaign and country and empire have been been totally hacked and hijacked by Kali. Okay, well, with her dashingly fashionable necklace of skulls, dangerous times of opportunity, may kindness, compassion, good cheer, great music and art, sparkling wit, and democratic activism of all beings be rekindled far and wee, great and small, and so forth, love and love. As the fierce old wise women once said, it's either socialism or it's barbarism. In the best sense of it all, may you and I and all allies feel the living, sentient earth shimmering in every molecule, the powerful magic that shows up in dangerous times when healing is not only possible, but inevitable. Right now, forever, once more. There we go. Anyway, so that's our scouting report.
Yeah, and also clarity. Clarity, because, you know, and this is where, you know, I have a chapter on the Norse seeresses that talks about a traditional practice that they refer to as utiseta, which means outsitting. You know, and sitting out in nature for insight, you know, and we need to be able to go back to these old practices as a way of getting ourselves clear. We don't have the luxury of, you know, going off on tangents. We really have to stay focused, you know, and it's like incantatory inspiration and, you know, the sacred incantation and finding ways to enact that. You know, there will be demonstrations. We need to do those with sacred chant. And we need to have banners and masks and enact it in a way that the heart becomes visible. Because, you know, it's like, hey, hey, ho, ho, blah, 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 blah. You know, this is another era.
It's
not effective. It does not engage people. We really have to be able to communicate the heart in our public gatherings that way.
Exactly. I'm so delighted to cahoot with you. Exactly. Is what do we want? Better chance. When do we want them now? Exactly. You know, and because so much of it, you know, even I want you to bring, you know, more the Norse seers, but even in the weird, the webs of weird, you know, it is the power of language to invoke, which we have everywhere in Yoruba, Ashe, you know, may the word spoken incarnate into matter. But the fates also, the fates, as you say, they're almost always triune, right? But they have a lot about speaking things into existence, right?
Yeah. And this is actually the Latin word where we get the word fatas and fates.
Yeah.
Fari means to speak prophetically. You know, so it's a certain kind of speech that calls into being. And,
right.
You know, the thing about speech that's really interesting, especially in a ritual context, is, or a ceremonial context, let's say, is that you have the combination of voice, the resonance in the chest, breath, and then you have naming, and the power of naming, and of symbol, of calling things into being. All of these things, the essence of the body and the essence of the air, you know, the chi in the air, the chi in the body, all being combined with intention. And that's the last piece, you know, and together in groups, all the better, you know, just to bring this into focus. Because, like someone wrote something today that I saw that they were saying, well, you know, we need to start. They actually did a ceremony where they called on each of the electors by name and put that affirmation out there to them, you know, do the right thing. You know, this is your job. This is why you're here. If this means anything, let's go past the old slavery state script that was written into the Constitution as, you know, maybe they thought of it as a safeguard, but there are other political things going on there that took us away from one person, one vote. But the thing that we can affirm now about that is that, you know, we insist that this be used in order to prevent the catastrophic. You know, the ground has already been laid out. We can see the path that they are recommending, you know, and, you know, the Trump administration, all the bad actors that are being put in charge of all the departments of all the,
all the things that they hate, yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we have to find ways of pulling ourselves together with that, you know. I mean, this is, it's sort of like when the election happened and after the deep, of the first week or two, you know, it's like, okay, this is it. No more screwing around. We're in it. And we're going to have to be able to move in really deep intention with a lot more will behind our action, a lot more discipline even in the ways that we relate to it, because there's no more skiving off at this point in time. You know, everything is at stake. And the time is now.
Right.
And so here's Mercury with Pluto and Capricorn. and you know,
the voice of the
at the very evening that this thing is happening. And so the power of undoing is there, of what is
right
for it.
Yes, the power of undoing, and again, yes, by the power of your knowledge, you know, calling on all of the unweaving or the stirring in the other direction. And it is Mercury goes right up to Pluto, going, okay, revealing, you know, and we can feel it already, the story storm. Although, mm-hmm. again, you know, it does, you know, if medium mainstream news were a novel, there would be no reliable narrator, because you go, all right, there's the anti-Russian people, and then people have their tripwire. Is going, oh no, you're being played into anti-Russia stuff, right? No. But it is a tripwire. It's like you say the wrong thing, and people go. It's like the Abbott and Costello. Slowly I turn, step by step. You know, and it's somebody says the wrong word, and they're like, ah. And then there's this whole deluge of paragraph about how you're being snookered because you know we don't want a hot war or a cold war with Russians. Like, no. We just want critique, and we don't completely know. Easy. Yeah, there you go, and you know, and. And on the other hand, we're allowed to criticize Putin because he does kill his own people. And, you know, I'm not Putin anything past Putin. It doesn't mean I'm a con of the thing of the...
Discernment. Discernment. You know, being able to discern truth and, you know, to have the discipline not to just... I mean, the people that often that you're arguing with are people you have things in common with.
Definitely.
You know, so that there you are arguing with. I mean, it was like this is Hillary versus Jill Stein, you know, on Facebook. People were like at each other's throats, and it's like, you know, you agree about a lot of different things, you know.
Yes. That's the story thing. Well, let me spiral us for briefly to remind our dedicated listeners that, you know, Max Dashew is our wonderful, wonderful guest. She is kindly making available her really rich, vital, essential book of Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion. So great to feel, you know, the indigeneity that reaches back into the Norse realms and into the European realms. Again, we've all been snookered and colonized, you know, but it lives in us, and so good to bathe ourselves in these rich mythic forms of intimate engagement with nature. So powerful. So we're offering that book for a pledge of $150 to KPFA, to the Visionary Activist Show, to the quality of work, to your own soul, to the fate of the country, by calling 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732, or pledging securely online at kpfa.org. It would be really great, because as you know, we need this council. We need to keep convening with Max Dashew and the likes as we navigate this, you know, crazy thing. Yes, discernment, knowledge, magic, pragmatism, pragmatic spirituality, pragmatic mysticism, making common cause, partnering with the powers of the earth that we remember how to do. It's back in there, you know, which is the antidote to colonialism. We do love that. So again, you can have this wonderful book as a thank you gift, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion by Max Dashew, our guest, by calling 1-800-439-5732. And of course, all donations with dedicated hearts are nothing too small or too large. Go ahead, surprise us with the smallness and the largeness of your donation. but powerful, this is our, you know, last day of this winter solstice fun drive, you know, keep this station going, there we go. And we are inaugurating a guiding story. I've been saying that all year, but even more important, and I want to toss it back to you, Max, because I like thinking of all worthy men like Bernie as wizards. I think Bernie is a pretty great wizard. And there was an amazing piece of a CNN piece posted on Facebook, you know, and in which he's with Trump people who are like, oh, you didn't buzz.
I saw that.
Right. Yeah. And there's this woman that normally, you know, she's sort of spewing hatred and, you know, about immigrants and everything, and he's just staying there. He's patient there.
An insight.
Yeah, and then she's like, you know, and the bad people have taken away our Medicare and our Social Security, and he just steps in calmly. So you like Medicare? And, yes. Do you know? Do you know what's about to happen? No. And see, again, for all of our team, did you know is so important, especially like Wizard Bernie, if you ask it without attitude. Did you know about this thing?
Right.
Because nobody minds being...
So effectively, and she just kind of like you watched the blown-up air just kind of go out of her, and she relaxed.
Right, and again, oh, great Wizard Bernie, yes, oh, still influential and great as part of our, you know, team, and that in all of us that can breathe through the spewing of hatred and vitriol and wait for the moment to step in to speak to somebody's sanity that is way in there, and he did a great job, and that's really what we want to do.
Yeah, I thought that was really very instructive model, that episode.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is that we need to actively, I mean, I don't know if there's any hope for the Democrats. Somebody was saying in the media, they were saying, well, you know, Democrats seem to have gone dark. You know, there's just no lights on in there. You know, they're not doing anything, you know, to stop this. And, you know, so we need to really have popular pressure on them if they want to exist in the future at all. You know, this is it. There's no more time left to lose. You cannot just screw around here. You know, we are at that breakpoint now.
Right. And it's also availing ourselves of all of our considerable skills that the myriad sneaky forms of colonialism may have caused us to forget. And, you know, and again, just to toss to you, because so much of what you write, you know, again, I mean, I'll ask you, but to so much wisdom in the past that you're bringing back, and complexity and fate and destiny and spinning and weaving and spirals, but to the idea of poisoning the world, to be so spectacularly missing the entire point of life. Well, there is evil, and I guess there is poison. What would your sources, what wants to speak through you now about, you know, poison and antidote?
You know, like I was saying before, I think that, you know, regrounding that connection with nature is really an axis of insight for us. You know, that I wanted to actually see if you would, I could read a little bit from this thing about Utiseta, because it gives us a taste of that which is lacking in the world around us. Everything is market-driven, and, you know, all of these toxic memes being spun out. And, you know, it's like to get back to something that is timeless. It's old and it's new. You know, that we are lacking in this culture. And so, alone she sat out, says the Völvuspá, when Odin came seeking wisdom from the Völva. She was absorbed in Utiseta, sitting out on the land as a heathen dreamer. Thus, the oldest Eddic poem shows a woman practicing the ancient way of communing with spirits out of doors at night. And that's a quote there.
Mm.
And a Latin text defines Utiseta as paying attention with incantations by night in the open air. And so, you know, then I talk about how, you know, bishops and various legal eagles try to ban sitting out at night for the sake of invoking spirits.
Wow.
But, you know, one of them actually, the Icelandic bishop in 1178, condemns those who sit out at night for the sake of gaining knowledge.
Well, right.
And that's the crux of it. You know, so, you know, I think that whatever it is that we each individually or collectively decide to do, we have to be grounded in that deep knowledge, you know, because it's so easy to get emotionally reactive and go off. And by recommending this bond with nature and with vision questing, I am not at all saying anything quietistic or that there are not many acts that we need to do in public ways. You know, of politically organizing, because I think that we're deeply called ethically to address all of the injustices that are being played out and being planned out now. So, but it's just a question of how, you know, we ground ourselves so that we can be more effective, more insightful, more healing in our approach, you know, and especially thinking about coalition and how we're going to do that now.
Yes.
Because coalition is crucial. We are getting nowhere without coalition, and so we have to find ways of setting aside animosities and disagreements to concentrate on things we agree on and what we consider most important.
The unifying story, right?
Yeah.
And again, as great ally, friend of show, John Michael Greer, really, really educated druid, says, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, you will only get hot heat. You know, what two needs is three, which is the unifying story. And that idea of invoking, calling it in, you know, the cooperators are standing by, but spiritual etiquette requires that they be called, you know, welcomed, invited, and, you know, that idea of, you know, partnering, pragmatic mysticism, which is, again, we see it so well in Standing Rock, in which they maintain the atmosphere, yeah, even with all the newcomers, of absolute, well, some better word than nonviolence, but absolute prayerfulness, absolute water is sacred.
And respect.
Respect.
The mutual respect and the request, which was really a requirement of respect for their hosting of this and for their traditions. And they did this move of educating people how you come to this land, how you're expected to behave on this land.
Right.
You know, what constitutes, because a lot of people, most people don't know.
Yeah.
Know.
And
constitutes that respect in a native context, especially.
Right. And again, you know, and the genius gift also of changing the word protester, which means to grab your balls, protestees, into protector, you know, and forevermore, you know, again, protector, and to move this into the vernacular. We are protectors.
Reframe it.
Yeah, and the partnering with what we love, you know, as though everything in nature, you know, again, winter solstice, these magic, powerful times where things are always true, but sometimes they are truer, you know, to protect wolves, become more like wolves, you know, to protect water, become like water, you know, which, again, Standing Rock, and all over, the, I mean, again, the support from the Maori in New Zealand and from the indigenous tribes in Indonesia, and, you know, it's global. Oh, Scandinavia. Okay, yes, bring
the
in.
Sami came in.
Say what? Oh, the Sami
came in and sang their yoik chant. It was a beautiful video.
Right. Yeah, and you'd said that, you know, we share a number of things. Well, we're both Libras and incarnations of Venus, with planets in Virgo. But you know, the Irish thing. But do we share a Norse thing as well? Are you Norse?
I have Norse. This is all Northwest Europe for me. So. And you know, this is another part that we talked about a little bit last week, is that mandate from a growing number of indigenous leaders saying, Europeans, recover your ancestral traditions.
Right.
You know, and so that's part of it, too.
And you mentioned several miles back, you mentioned Odin. Do you want to just bring in Odin with his one eye closed, one eye open, one eye looking inward, one eye looking outward?
Yeah, well, you know, I talk about Odin. I talk a lot about sexual politics around Odin in the book, going further along in the chapter on Völler in the last chapter. You know, the interesting thing to me about Odin, because people tend to focus a lot on him, is his interaction with the vulva in this old poem, the Völuspá, which means the prophecy of the sibyl or of the witch. And he comes to her, you know, that one-eyed one, and seeking prophecy. And she kind of chivvies him a little bit there, because she says, oh, well, why are you coming to me, Odin? Did you not cast your eye into the well of Mimir to gain wisdom? Why then come to me, basically, you know? So it kind of recasts that, because there's a certain amount of tension in those old texts. There's certain sexual politics tension between Odin and both goddesses and women, you know, and so that's something that I talk more about. But with the other thing about Odin is there is a little bit of a transgender theme happening at times, or at least a cross-gender thing, because there's a little silver figurine of Odin that was found at Lære in Denmark. And he's seated between Hugin and Mugin, and you know, you have the two ravens and the two wolves, which are like shamanic allies for Odin. And he's dressed completely in female clothing. Now, some people say, well, that's not really Odin. That's supposed to be Freya. But the expression on the face really doesn't track with any of the representations of females that I've seen out of that world. You know, and so there is a reference that Loki makes to Odin where he's taunting him for having participated in Seder, which is the trance prophetic ceremony. And he says, you know, I ween that you did these things, which is, you know, as a witch's way. You know, you did this ceremony in a female mode. And this was a form of Norse insult. For one man to compare another to a female was considered very insulting and degrading. And so they're having this verbal duel between each other. Well, you did this, and that was like a female. And another one says, well, you did that, and that was like a female. But relative to the figurine that I was describing, this is really important, because there was a very strong theme of prophetic insight being associated with the female. both in the fact of the preponderance of women in the prophetic tradition and even the fact that Odin himself, according to Loki, in order to participate in Seder, had to take on female attributes.
Right.
You know, so that's my...
Yeah. No, and also part of how you dive us in is that the Norns long pre-exist the Norse gods, right?
They are ultimate. And this tracks very parallel to the Greeks, because there, too, ultimately the fates are the dispositors. And so the gods become more, they're mortals. Ultimately, they die, they fall, you know. And so there's this idea more of the gods as somehow modeled on human society, standing in for human society in some levels, even the social order of human society, particularly, well, both the Norse and the Greeks, actually. But underlying that is this deeper substrate of reality, which is these fateful beings, you know, who are not really embodied beings, unless they're embodied in the universe itself. But that whole framing of the fibers of being spun and woven and attached and bound together in certain ways by the fates. And this is almost an explanatory story for the nature of our reality. Why do things happen as they do, and how do these people end up falling together? You know, there's all these fateful moments where, well, I don't know how that happened, but I happened to be in the same place as her, and this thing happened. You know, and so there's a way in which spinning and weaving many, many ritual contexts for it, ceremonial chanting over webs by women
right.
in the early Middle Ages, or silence while weaving, and this occurs in some of the fairy tales, to retain silence until the woman has woven the shirts for her 7 or 17 swan brothers,
who
magically turned into swans. And once she casts the shirts over them, they are able to change back, but she cannot speak. And so there's all that. But then there's another piece that goes back to what you were saying about stamen, because there's this whole alphabet of meanings built around the semiotics of spinning and weaving. And so we have the word text, right, which comes from weave, text. So text as writing, as scripture. And then you have in the Sanskrit end of the Indo-European world, sutras, which means threads.
Well,
and sutras are the Buddhist verses or the Hindu verses. They're the scriptures.
So when we're texting in the modern world, we're weaving.
Yeah.
Aha! Oh, that's invaluable.
There's all these layers to this. Goes deep and deep. And language is a way for us to track the deep meanings that go beyond written historical record.
Right. And so text, is it also texture?
Texture, right?
Oh, yep. I love that. And the sutras are the threads, right? Okay, and then the stamina.
Same as sutures, right?
Right, and the sutures and the stamina. So we can step in, not always, but we can step in to strengthen, to lengthen, to change. And as you say, you know, the word, you know, enchanting, enchantress, an enchanted thing. That's right. Because you have. Old French romances use the word fae, and I so love that you, in a footnote, said that you spell fairy F-A-E-R-Y to avoid the Disneyfication of the fairy thing.
Because we have all these stereotypes, like a skin or like a shell encrusted over the older stuff, and in order to get down to that older stuff, we have to break that crust.
Right. No, and I think, I mean, I think for everything, and I think for this, you know, this spiraling into this winter solstice, which is such a story maelstrom, and again, for all of us and every listener, you know, to take hold of the story stirring stick, there we go, you know, but, you know, and things are coming up, but you say the fae for a spirit woman or a woman with powers, but its meaning was broad, by far the most popular phrase is say chose fae, which meant a faded thing, and which later came to mean an enchanted thing, as with weird, you say, the concepts of fading and enchanting, which of course is to sing it in, right? When used for a being, fae took on the meaning of enchantress. Yeah, again, you know, enchanting, you know, good to meet you, enchanted. You know, I mean, again, all these were powerful words of singing in the magic, right?
Yeah.
Enchanted.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that's really great. So, Let me be responsible to the station, to and fro. But surely now, syncretizing, all the wisdom reverencing of Earth traditions, right? And everybody's blood and DNA, and kind of going backwards to find guidance, but to invite in help as though around the winter solstice, the ancestors are going, what are you doing? Because remember in the Mabinogion, there's a great moment where the elders get together and they go, oh, the men just found out they have something to do with children and things were going so well before this. And we can see that, humans will set forth on their little individual path and lose kinship not only with each other but with nature herself until the earth might die. Okay, they're writing this pre-10th century, right? And then at that point, some humans, all part of us here, will keep all the value of their individual journey, but will once again join back into nature's vast mind. They're pitching it to us, right? Because do you feel that all the ancestors and the myths, all the myths want to be brought into play now?
I do, because we're at this climactic moment.
Yeah.
And everything counts now, and everything matters in very far-reaching ways. So this is everything.
It is everything. And again, we know each other because I guess you listen to this show, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, of course. That's so adorable. I'm so honored. That's great. So again, it is the likes of, although Max is completely unique, but the likes of what she brings to our wisdom table. And again, kindly proffering this invaluable book. Really, it is just rich, nutrient, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion, as a thank you gift for a pledge of $150 only. Hey, there we go. By calling 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732, or pledging online, kpfa.org. This is where we convene. This is our, radio is such a magic mystery, right? Because we're invisible to each other. We're spirit voices talking back and forth. And as we know, Pacifica is the, only non-commercial thing in the left. So we especially need this realm of counsel. Because Max, isn't this a kind of telepathic way of, invisibly, spirits communing?
Well, certainly, and it's the interwebs, which is yet another weaving metaphor.
Ah, the interwebs, of course.
People are the net, the web, all of those metaphors are still, it's really interesting because the Hopi actually predicted this. They talked about spider webs that would cover the land.
Ah.
And people could communicate. There's some Hopi prophecy that foresees this. And so this is something we have access to, and we're able to get connected to knowledge that we would not otherwise have.
Yes, and that's why Paul Stamets, great ally, friend of show, mycologist, says he thinks that actually the mycelia, the mushroom mycelia, the underground root section, he thinks they invented the internet as a kind of literalized equivalent in order to save the earth. Going, yes, there's a lot of nonsense and snickering and whatever, and as there is a lot of nonsense on radio and TV and everything, but there's also again how we gather here and now. Again, yes, team, do step up. Again, this is our last visionary activist pitching in the pre-winter solstice. Oh, what a winter solstice this is. We've never needed one more. By calling 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. Your dog wants you to call. A lot of people do say that their animals, their dogs like listening to the show, and I go, that's great. So pledge for your dog, your wolf ally in the house. I hear from people in prison who listen to the show. Pledge for them. Hear from people who are homeless in the streets. They listen to the show as well as everybody listening to the show now. It's very wonderfully diverse. Pledge to keep this thing going. And
pledge for the inspiration that you are providing, Caroline, with your reverent approach to activism.
Ah, there we go. And democratic animism, again, that idea that, drawing from so many, we're all syncretizing and things we hold dear. And, and something I want to, toss to you, Max, and then out into the world. This time, right now, I mean, you know, with the unfurling horror, which is one very compelling story that we must honor as an incentive to draw in everything, you know, every single part of us coming alive to participate in Kahoot and experiment, and have allies both invisible and not, all of that. Because part of what we're heading into, and it's gliding into place now, you know, the beautiful symmetry. The moon right now, you know, as we began the show, is at 20 degrees of Cancer, exactly squaring Uranus at 20 Aries. So the wildness of fierce feminine within us all, regardless of gender, that is dedicated to fierce protection. I mean, that's really exactly how we convene. So, you know, the moon in Cancer, all life deserves protection, you know, and again, in order to have its uniqueness, in order to take the risks of choice. So moon at 20 Cancer, Uranus at 20 Aries, Jupiter's gliding into 20 degrees of Libra, you know, Saturn's gliding into 20 degrees of Sagittarius, little Chiron planetoids at 20 Pisces, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. So we have 20, 20, 20, 20 hindsight. You know, again, let's go backwards to go forward. All of that, and part of it is the Jupiter Uranus is this wild story storm, but Saturn in Sagittarius is the story stirring stick. So part of what we do on the show, part of what Max is doing with the incredible dedication, because I was looking, going, and you wrote all those pre-volumes. I just had to.
Yeah, they're all sitting in a file cabinet drawer, waiting to just be formatted out. And,
wow,
you know,
look at you!
I should mention I'm teaching an online course about Volume 2 that starts in January. You can look on the Suppressed Histories.
I want to take that. That's Pythia's Melissae and Pharmakides.
Yes.
Oh, I want that one. No, Max is an invaluable source of incredibly, you know, disciplined wildness. You are a disciplined wild woman. You know, look at the prodigious amount of work that you're contributing. And again, that's part of what we're encouraging our dedicated listeners to pledge. This is a fantastic book to keep you company and solace. And because each line really is like sets things off and stirs things in your blood in which you go, oh, that's so useful. That metaphor, that's right. It's such an antidote to the tyranny of modernity and colonialism. It feeds the uncolonized, pre-colonized, you know, and defiant, you know, because you're going to take us through all the persecutorial cultures and the suppression of the Norns and the thing and the, I mean, all of that, and this rising. So again, we're offering Max's book for a pledge of $150, which is in Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion, by calling 1-800-439-5732, or pledging online securely. Yes, safely. Safe enough to take the risk. KPFA.org. Wonderful. And, you know, can I exhort you into any exhortation? That's right, because you listen to this station quite a lot, right?
I do. Well, and I've been listening to your show for over 25 years. I don't know how long you've been on.
Oh, that's adorable.
Way long ago. So
it's 20 years this year. So you've been knowing me before I knew you.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm so delighted. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know. You know, all I can say is that one thing about this book is that it is much more inspirational. The whole trajectory of the 15 volumes of Secret History of the Witches, which is the entire series,
right,
does talk about the history of the persecution, but it also pulls forward that which we most want to know, which is the good stuff.
Right.
It's the nectar, it's the juice, and so all those are wrapped together. And this volume in particular is mostly about the nectar.
That is beautiful. So again, drinking the nectar is wonderful. So Jupiter opposite Uranus right now, you know, as this year, you know, launches into this, you know, wild thing, but everything's uncertain. And let us be, you know, telepathic participants in, you know, public dreamers in directing things, going, oh, wild disruption. Because part of it, and maybe you can speak to the disruptive goddesses, Uranus is right next to dwarf planet Ceres Demeter, goddess of the Earth. And then way, way, way out there, there really is a planet, Eris, E-R-I-S. Thank you, guests who have illuminated this. Way out there in the Kuiper Belt, moves very slowly, also lined up. So we have Uranus, nature's evolutionary ingenuity, with the goddess of the Earth, and Eris, goddess of disruption, all lined up opposite Jupiter. So where would we like disruption in service to life?
Exactly, because we have to make that work for us. We see how that's playing out in the governmental structures. But we do have Saturn and all these other planets planets helping us, you know, because, I mean, as a Capricorn end, we have Pluto saying, well, you know, on the one hand, you've got the mob rule or the dictatorial impulse, but you also have mass protest or mass uprising against those old oppressive structures. You know, and the chance to break the frame in order for something new to come forward.
And there's also there's much kinship. Again, we do want to gather in this way, oh team, oh dedicated audience of the age. There's another video going around, you know, and it's the great 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 grandson of Hamilton, and he's saying, you know, oh electors, you know, and as I would put it, oh, electors protect us from the dementors, you step up. But he's saying, you know, I call, here comes the ancient into the modern in a good way, I call for all good-hearted people to have candlelight vigils at all of the town halls in the state capitals, you know, every night through Monday. And we go, oh, beautiful, great, 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 great grandson of Hamilton. You go, yeah, I'll be the ancestors stepping in, the candlelight vigils, you know, and as you know, in
ceremonial aspect.
The ceremonial aspect.
Witness, of bringing light and witness. It's like we're here and we say, this can't stand.
Exactly. That's right. No, and we're calling in, you know, remember the efficacy of the powerful chanting in South Africa, because they were calling in this fierce joy, and it did. It caused the tyrants to tremble, going, whoa.
And the Toy Dance as well. When they were demonstrating, they would do this running dance that was called the Toy Toy.
Yes.
You know, and this is part, again, of the ceremonial part, because it brings the power through in a way that, yeah, it does make them tremble.
Well, yeah.
And more than that, it inspires the mass of people saying, we have this. This is us. This is who we are.
Yeah. And again, we were calling on everyone, all of our team, because what is very beautiful about the gathering at this show, the Visionary Activist Show, yes, 20 years in September, it's been 20 years, and Max has been listening for 20 years, but is the way we stir things up that keep going. People meet each other, they do things, we direct attention, both, you know, and it's to people way out there in the wilderness who are isolated, but who goes, oh, there are many who think like me. Right, it's kinship, it's magic, radio. Is magic in its distilled and dedicated form, and we love that. So we are encouraging you to support this magic of the Visionary Activist Show and the likes of fantastic spiritual embodied scholars like Max Dashu and her wonderful, wonderful book, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion, for a pledge of $150 by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732. 732 or online kpfa.org, which would be great. All right, I couldn't let you go earlier. I was going to release you earlier, Max, but I couldn't let you go. I hope you don't mind. We're in our final minute-ish here, but inaugurating our guiding story. And see, I do love the image that I'm going to be animating for December 20th. It's a friend's dream, really briefly. I say it all the time, but it's so now, you know, in the dream, you know, there's a bad figure, a bad kind of evil figure stirring a cauldron, and the voice in the dream says to my friend, you must take hold of the stick and stir it in the other direction. She makes her way slowly through the atmosphere. It's very thick. And the minute she touches the stick, the wraith-like evil figure dissipates into the air. Funda! And then she slowly begins stirring the cauldron in the other direction. And that's the dream. I love that dream.
Yeah.
It's so now. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the dream is saying you can do this.
You can do this. Everybody, you know, even just the physicality of it. Everybody, you know, right now, while you're dialing 1-800-439-5732 with one hand, you know, have the stick, the story-stirring stick in your other hand. We're stirring the cauldron in the other direction. So in one level, you're pouring resources and energy, you know, and donations into the Visionary Activist KPFA cauldron. There we go. On the other hand, you're stirring the cauldron. We're doing this together, team. You know, candlelight vigils, you know, Electric College, we're not expecting, because expectation is the partner of disappointment, but we're willing with all of its double entendre, like intending and willing, like, hey, what the hell, we're available for this dance, inviting in, you know, all sane reverence, you know, all sane reverent, you know, people, all sane reverent protectors. Again, let me exhort that you dial 1-800-439-5732 again for this wonderful book, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion by Max Dashu, or pledge online kpfa.org. Any other, you know, weird, because the things I also held on from last, you know, these small things that I love. Weird means destiny, right? And then you have a whole history. I mean, we can go on forever about weird. And craft. Crazy about craft. Radio craft. Because craft, you said, meant power.
Power, skill, knowledge, all kinds of, you know, it's a multivalent term.
Yeah, the power that comes from dedication. Ah, well, we're on our
way.
Be
undaunted.
The undaunted. I love dauntless, undaunted, better than daunted. All right, and then we want many more words, but let us cahoot in perpetuity, Max.
All right then.
All right, wonderful team. Thank you so much, Erica Bridgman in Berkeley, Timmy Olmsted in Washington, D.C. I'm Caroline Casey. Oh, diving into the solstice as we all are. Call 1-800-439-5732 for Max's book and just to pledge to this show. Thank you all so much. Thank you so much, Max.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Excellent. All right. Woof, woof.